two times I let Brian go first, and the first time he left me 2 minutes, and the second time he finished when it was time for the service to be over. So I get to go first this time. He is learning. He is learning. You just saw a video, a challenging video, a thought-provoking video. What if you had never heard the gospel? Who told you about the gospel? And there are lots and lots of children out there who have not heard. A lot of you are familiar with Child Evangelism Fellowship and what I do. Some of you are not. So I am going to do a little bit of brief CEF presentation. This is kind of a combo CEF presentation, and then our how we navigated from that to this trip to the DR, and what we need from you, our church family, or what we're challenging you or asking you to partner with us. So first of all, Child Evangelism Fellowship is a worldwide mission organization. It's actually the largest mission organization to children. It's an evangelical, Bible-centered mission, and we have a threefold purpose. The first purpose is to evangelize boys and girls in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The second is to establish them in the Word of God, which is discipleship. And the third is to establish them in a local church if they are not a part of the body of Christ, because we want to keep them in that growing. We want to keep them being discipled. So that's our threefold purpose. We serve worldwide in over 200 countries. So we are in just about every country of the world. And I can tell you which ones we are not in, but I don't, am I being recorded? Okay, then I'm not going to say that right now. So if you are interested in knowing that, you can come talk to me about that. We have to protect some of our workers who are in sensitive countries. And then we've been ministering to children for 85 years. So they've been around since 1937. I know that because that is the same year that my grandparents were born. So I'll always remember that. And then last year in 2021, we reached worldwide 15.6 million children with the gospel. That is post-pandemic numbers. So pre-pandemic, before all the mess with COVID, we were up to 25.5 million children worldwide. So COVID did knock us out, caused us to think outside the box. And a lot of our ministry, we now have a stat on our yearly stats report that has to do with digital, how reaching children digitally. So we have a lot of things going on online, over media, over television, over radio that was not happening pre-pandemic. So the Lord took that awful situation, as he always does, and he worked something good out of that. And so we're working those numbers back up. And you saw at the end of that video, we have a goal of 100 million children per year. And so we are working hard and heavy. The really awesome thing about our workers in CEF is that 97% of them are nationals. And so that means that 97% of our workers are from the country that they minister in. So obviously, Brian and I would be considered nationals because we are from America and we minister in America. But that's what we try to do in our foreign countries outside of America, is we want to get in there and train those locals, train those nationals to then go and be missionaries and reach out. And so that's one of the things that we really strive to do. Our theme verse for our organization is found in Matthew 18:14, and it says, "It is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish." And so we are taking that great commission that Jesus has given to us to go and reach the entire world, every creature, with the gospel of Christ. And we have that focus on children, that God loves the children, that God desires to see the children saved from the punishment of sin. And all you have to do is turn on the television to see all the things that are coming against our children today. Especially things that have been born out of the pandemic, the depression and the suicide rate among children. We're talking children. The school shootings that happen, the drugs and alcohol that they're faced with. I just read about a 15-year-old girl in California that was found deceased in the school bathroom because she had taken drugs that were laced with, is it fentanyl? Yes. All these things that I never even imagined when I was in school, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And we would like to think that all of these children have parents who love God, who take them to church, who who care about them spiritually, but they don't. They don't. And that's part of our mission, is to get that gospel out to these children, to help them see that there's a God who loves them, a God who created them, that they don't have to find their, they can't find their completeness or their wholeness in anything that the world offers. And that's what Satan wants them to believe. He wants to throw all of this stuff at them, social media, drugs, alcohol, the desire to be popular. He wants to throw all this stuff at them to get them to try to fill this void that they have that only God can fill. And they've got to hear the message. They've got to hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that is our mission. That is Child Evangelism Fellowship's purpose, is to reach those children with the gospel. We have several venues that we do that with. One, our discipleship program, our major discipleship program, is the Good News Club. And so in Randolph County, we have two Good News Clubs that go on. That is about to change, I hope. For a long time, many, many years, I was the only staff person in Central Piedmont, Randolph and Davidson counties. But now we have two new staff people. One is my husband, Brian, and one is Ethan Hyatt. Some of you may be familiar with him. He worked his way up from summer missionary, and now he's on staff with us. And so we hope that is going to change. Ethan has actually taken on the role of Good News Club ministry coordinator. So that is going to be part of his responsibilities to try to expand that mission. So one of those Good News Clubs is in a daycare in Randleman. We have that on Wednesdays. That's starting up this Wednesday. And the kids at that daycare call that their church. They're so excited that we come every Wednesday after school and share with them about Jesus. And that top picture there is actually a picture from that club a few years ago. The director there at that daycare wanted to make sure that all the children in her daycare had a Bible. And so she provided that for them. And they bring those Bibles with them to Good News Club. So that's really exciting. There's another picture of, if you remember Molly, she's down there in the left-hand bottom corner there teaching. Well, it would be your right hand, wouldn't it, at that Good News Club. And then over on the other side, you see Miss Elizabeth. She heads up. We have one Good News Club in a public school, and that's at Denton Elementary, and she heads that up, Somerville Baptist. Brian mentioned that at our praying for our church family. She heads that up. They're in their fifth year, so they've had this club there at Denton Elementary for 5 years. It is so exciting to watch her team get excited about sharing the gospel with the kids. It's exciting to watch the kids come running from school after school to be able to come to Good News Club. We are allowed to have Good News Clubs in public school after school. So we had a 2001 Supreme Court ruling that gave us permission to do that. If the school allows any other outside group to use their facility for any reason, they have to let CEF as well. Now, the flip side of that coin is they have to let anybody use that. So you may have heard in the news, especially at the end of last year, about the Satan clubs that are coming against CEF. And seriously, their entire purpose has nothing to do with Satan. Well, I mean, it does, but it has everything to do with getting CEF kicked out of public school. They are backed by an organization called Freedom From Religion. I don't know if you keep up with the Randleman football. Several years ago, that group came against Tommy McDonald there and wanted to stop him from praying again in the football games, at the beginning of the football games. Same group. Their entire purpose is to get CEF kicked out of public school. They do not want the gospel. They do not want the children hearing the gospel. That whole separation of church and state, they say, is how they argue with that. And so they will seek out the, I said what elementary school we were at here, but that's okay. They will seek out the elementary schools that CEF is in, and they will purposely go and advertise for a Satan club in that school system to get the parents, the Christian parents, upset, which it does. It caused quite a stir for us in the media, because naturally you're going to get upset when you hear that there's going to be a Satan club offered at your school. That's their whole purpose. And so then everything comes under review, and not only is the Satan Club not allowed to meet, but then the Good News Club is not allowed to meet either. So whenever we have legal counsel that helps us with that, but we've learned that if we will just lay low, keep doing what God's called us to do. Let the Satan Club advertise. Let them pass out invitations. Don't send your kids to it. That's the bottom line. You have a choice. And that's with Good News Club, too. The kids who come to Good News Club, they're not forced to come. They have to have a parental permission slip to attend Good News Club. But most of the time, nobody will sign up for the Satan Club. And so it just fizzles out. It just goes away. And then Good News Club's able to continue. So that's something, though, that Satan is definitely, the enemy is definitely trying to come against us with. But we have 48 elementary schools in Randolph and Davison counties. And so we are in one of those schools. We have two schools that we have people of interest that are wanting to start Good News Clubs at those particular public schools. So that is definitely a prayer request for us. Another venue that we have to reach children is our summertime five-day clubs. And we do those during the summer. So let me back up just a minute. A Good News Club meets once a week. And it doesn't have to be in the school system. It could be anywhere. But it's designed to be more of a discipleship program for the kids. Once a week during the school year, kind of if school's out, club's out kind of thing is how we tend to operate. Five-day club meets during the summer. And they meet for five consecutive days, Monday through Friday, for about an hour. Good News Club also meets about an hour, hour and a half. And five-day club is unique in that we train teenagers to teach these clubs. So it's called our Christian Youth in Action Program. And this is actually how I came into CEF myself. I came in at the age of 14, trained as a Christian Youth in Action, and I never left. So near and dear to my heart, I love the CYIA program. I love the five-day club. We've had several summer missionaries from our own home church. Most of the Cheek kids, the Anthony Cheek kids have served. Brandon has served as a summer missionary. Molly served as a summer missionary. Several of our teenagers have come out and served. Hannah then has served. Hannah and Shiloh both have served. This year we had, I told them that I wasn't going to do as many clubs this year as we did last year. So last year we did 42 and this year we did 40. You know, it's really hard. It's hard. I love the five-day club. I love it. And we reached about 800 kids in Randolph and Davison counties. We had several new locations that we haven't been at yet, including the Lexington YMCA. So that was really exciting. And we had four Decisions for Christ this summer that we know about that the children actually came and either told us or came for counseling to talk to us about. So that was really, really exciting. And the next picture is our team that we had this summer. This is when everybody was together this one week. And some of them are from outside area, from Fayetteville area, but the two there in dead center front, they're from Fayetteville area. They came to help us out that week because we had, 15 clubs that one week? It was crazy. But it was good. It was good. So this was our team. I'm going to let you hear from a couple of members of our team right now. Which one of you want to go first? Hannah's going to go first. So Hannah's going to come up and share a little bit about her summer. She's so excited about this.
So last summer, when Mommy asked me to officially help her during the summer as a summer missionary, I actually didn't really want to do it because I don't like talking in front of people that I don't know. But after thinking about it, I decided that I was going to try it, but I still didn't think that I was going to like it. But it was a whole lot more fun than I thought, and so I was definitely sure that I was going to come back this year. And I was a junior both years. You can either be a junior or a senior. And I really liked being a junior because for when you are a junior, you get to teach a missionary story. And for the missionary story, you split it up into 5 days. And you get to leave the kids on a cliffhanger every day except for the last day. And that is my favorite part of teaching this, the missionary story. Because just seeing the kids' reactions when you leave them off at a cliffhanger is just so fun, honestly. I actually had one group of kids tell me that I was mean for leaving them off at a cliffhanger every day. I also really liked teaching preschool clubs because the preschoolers are just so cute and they just say the funniest things sometimes. At the end of preschool clubs, we always give them stickers. We'll tell them to put their hand on their head, and we'll go around and put a sticker on each of their hands. And they really like stickers. I mean, like, they will go around and compare which the stickers that they have. And when two of them have the same one, they'll get really excited. And then they'll also, like, yell out what kind of what color they have. They'll be like, I have a blue one, or I got a red one. So I really enjoyed helping this summer and last summer, and I'm looking forward to doing it again this next year.
Are you talking from back there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. No.
Anyway, no, just real quick. So, you know, this is my second summer doing this, and definitely things have ramped up. I thought I was done after last summer as far as how intense things are going to be, but then I took TCE in the fall, and then, you know, I was in South Carolina back in
March.
Of July 4th.
The July 4th week? Mm-hmm. Okay, the July 4th week is this summer. And it was one of those times where the why is an interesting group of kids. I use that word because you really never know what you're going to get from day to day. And actually, when you walk into Y every day, you really never know where you're going to be, who you're going to have, and everything else. So it's challenging to some degree. So that one day that I presented the gospel, you know, and then you go back, you go to the counseling, and the rest of the club happens. Back to see you, and they can come back to ask.
So we are always on the lookout for potential summer missionaries. We actually have a retreat coming up at the end of March for past and future or interested young people who might want to be a summer missionary. Going to the retreat does not commit you to the summer. It is just an interest thing. So we take ages 12 and up. If you have any interest in that, we would love for you to join our team. I love summer ministry. It's our busiest time of the year when everybody's taking break from school. We're taking break from school, but then we don't jump into the pool. We are out in daycares, in the YMCAs, in neighborhoods, sharing the gospel and actually discipling these teenagers as well. It's a discipleship program for them as well. So we're real excited about that. That's where my heart is. But we also have other venues, one of them being Camp Good News, which I know several of you have heard of that as well. This was my first experience at Camp Good News. Hannah and Shiloh have been as campers, and Ellen and Emma have gone. Emma's been counselor at Camp Good News. Ellen has been a cook at Camp Good News. But our Camp Good News is located in Asheville, or Fairview is a little community outside of Asheville, North Carolina. I was able to join Hannah this year for Teen Girl Week as a counselor. I was the oldest person on campus. I'm not used to that. But I was even above the camp director. Our camp director is only 28 years old. So that was interesting. But I kept up with these girls. I tell you what, I tried my best. I came home sore as I'll get out, but I kept up with them. But they left with my heart. I learned a lot that week about the teenagers and what they're facing, and that they need Jesus. And they really need somebody to love them is what they need. And the Lord really stretched me that week and helped me set aside my Christian, my church person, and let his, I was trying to be open just to let the love of Christ shine out. So I hope that the girls saw that in me. And I came home with a couple of prayer requests. If y'all are still praying for Braylon and Jamie, that is much, much appreciated. But that happens during the summer. They do 6 weeks of camp. They do 3 weeks of boys camp and 3 weeks of girls camp. They're also looking for camp counselors. So that's also another opportunity for your teenagers. Or if you want to be a brave adult and go be a counselor, you can do that as well. Another venue is our Good News Spectacular, which New Life has been involved in, and we haven't had one since COVID, but we are excited because we're in the works for that. Good News Spectacular is a one-day event that happens in the community. We've been doing ours at the YMCA, the local YMCA here in Asheboro, and we have all these bouncies set up for the kids to come and enjoy. It's all free. We have snow cones, popcorn, drinks. Everything is completely free. In the top left-hand corner there, you'll see The Greatest Story Ever Told. So that one, you have to have a bracelet to get on that ride, but you don't buy your bracelet. The way that you get that bracelet is you sit through a presentation of the wordless book of the gospel, and you see Molly down there sharing the wordless book. So we do have one that is sectioned off, one bouncy that would be sectioned off where they have to have that bracelet. So in order to get the bracelet, you go through and you hear a presentation of the gospel. So there's Daniel and Emma up there at our drink station. The kids just have a lot of fun. Families come in. The Y has been gracious to open up their facilities to us for free to be able to do this. We've done two of them, I think, and we haven't done any since 2019. But we have it on our calendar, Saturday, April 29th, 2023. We are hoping to offer this again. We will be looking for church partnerships. We will be looking for volunteers. Just a prayer request where that's concerned is that the Y is kind of iffy on their schedule at the moment. They don't know if they're gonna have a volleyball tournament that weekend. So we're trying to lock in that date, and we will be looking for churches to partner with us. I want this to be a lot. It can be a lot bigger than what it's been. It's been great. It's been awesome. But it's been our little church doing it, you know. And what I would like to see is the church body as a whole in Randolph-Davidson counties come together and partner. And this could be so much more and such a huge outreach. I would love, at the Raleigh Spectacular, they have this board that they put up of the supporting churches in the area. And it says, your family needs a church family. And they, if you're, if that family comes in and they don't have a church family, they find out where you live. You know, in Raleigh, they got a map of Raleigh up there. They find out where a church is close to you and then get you plugged in. And I would love to see something like that here in Randolph County, because that's our purpose as a, as the body of Christ, is to get the people in, not only evangelize, but to help disciple them, to help get them established in God's word. And that's part of what we do with CEF. But that's a prayer request for us. Another prayer request would be our good news clubs. I mentioned that Somerville Baptist just started theirs up last week. It's a Kids World Daycare will start up this coming week. We're looking to start a couple more. Greensboro is having some issues with the Satan Club, so that's definitely a prayer request that you could lift up for us. Greensboro had two clubs approved this school year, and when a third came through, somebody got a hold of it, didn't approve the third one, and then went back and revoked the permission on the other two. So obviously our legal counsel has stepped in to help with that. But that's a prayer request that we have with our Good News Club. And then also Brian mentioned teaching children effectively. We're going to be partnering with the Statesville chapter, and we're going to be holding a Teaching Children Effectively class in February. And actually it's going to be here at our church. So that's a 30-hour college credit course. We will be looking for students to attend that. But what we do, you don't have to be involved. We would love for you to be involved in CEF ministry as a result of the class, but the class is offered to help you learn how to share the gospel with children, how to effectively teach children from God's word. And honestly, if you can share the gospel with a child, you can share the gospel with anybody. And so this is a class that gives you a good foundation for how to share your faith if you're just not quite sure how to put it into words or how to do it. So that's something that we will be offering in February, and that is a prayer request. So speaking of children, teaching children effectively, I've been involved in several of those, and the last one I was involved in was back in, no, you went to South Carolina in May. I was in Asheville in March. That's right. I was involved in one in March. I traveled to Asheville and helped out my North Carolina staff person there in Asheville. And there were several of us that came together. A team also came from Durham to come help with that. And so I share this with you because I'm transitioning into our Dominican Republic portion of our presentation. At that TCE, I met this family, the McKnights. So they came from our staff person in Durham. They came to attend the TCE class as a family. Well, mom and dad attended. And they homeschool, so Lorelai and Sam. So this is Tim and Nikki, Lorelai and Sam. They came, and I was able to meet this precious, precious family. And they found out that Hannah, all this started with Hannah, chose to take ASL, American Sign Language, as her second language for her high school credit. And they found that out, and they approached me. Little did I know, they are actually preparing to be full-time missionaries in the Dominican Republic to the deaf. And so they are raising their support right now. And they were putting together at the time the beginnings of a short-term mission trip happening in October. And she said, hey, would you and your daughter be interested in going? And I said, well, sure. Let me pray about it. Let me talk to Brian about it. I get home. I don't know what Brian thought. I just come out. I'm like, you're not going to believe this and da-da-da and all this stuff. And my homeschool mom kicked in then. I'm like, oh, man, she can study this and then go get hands-on field trip. And, you know, I was thinking more homeschool and experience at that point. And Brian and I discussed it. And there was definitely some interest there. And we were thinking either she and I would go or he and her would go, or maybe the three of us would go. And the more we talked about it and the more we prayed about it, we realized this was not a partial family trip, that this was going to be a full family trip. And so we made the decision that the five of us would go. And I asked him and Nikki about that, and they were like, absolutely. Nikki's words were, I'm so glad to hear this information. She was so excited that all five of us would be going. And it was when we made that decision that we had full peace about this trip. And we didn't know how all the details were going to come together, but we knew that this is where God had put this in our path. God had put this across us. Now, they don't work with Child Evangelism Fellowship. They have another ministry that they work with. This gentleman here, Pastor Eric Quinlan, and his wife, Juana, right, Juana? They are missionaries in the Dominican Republic to the deaf. So the deaf in the Dominican Republic have always been kind of cast aside. not even their own families don't really try to communicate with them. And so then it has become law now that they, first of all, they recognize that they can be educated and that they must be educated. So they've started these deaf schools all over the country, but they haven't really had a lot of training for their teachers. Pastor Eric has started a deaf church there in Santo Domingo, and so his entire church, you can see him online, it's really awesome on Facebook to watch him. He is fluent in ASL and Dominican Sign Language. Their son, one of their sons, is actually deaf, so his heart is obviously there for the deaf. And the McKnights have teamed up with Pastor Eric and Juana, and they are looking to go full-time there and become partners with Pastor Eric and Juana. So they're organizing this short-term mission trip. There's two other families that's going to be going with us, the Zimmermans, John and Christy, and Liz and Joanna Stockton. And these three families, the McKnights and the Zimmermans and the Stocktons, they're actually all from that same church in Durham where my other staff person goes that lives in Durham. So we're kind of the outsiders in the group, but we actually just met John and Christy in person for the first time last week. We haven't met Liz and Joanna yet, but we have been the last 7 months doing Zoom classes with Pastor Eric. He has been teaching us Dominican Sign Language. We're putting together a presentation. We're going to be going into 5 different schools there in the DR. We're going to be gone October 7th through the 17th. The Monday through Friday, we'll be going into 5 different schools, and from what I understand, it's going to run like our 5-day clubs do, where we're not just doing one presentation in a school, because if you try to do a big group of deaf and you're trying to sign to a big group, they obviously can't see what you're doing, so it's going to have to work with smaller groups, and electricity is iffy there, so it can't be done. You know, it would be wonderful if they could just put you on camera and you could just do it on TV and everybody could see you, but that's not how it works. So we're going to have these small groups in these schools. So we're doing several different presentations today. We are trying to learn the wordless book in sign language, and we've broken up the pages between our families to do the presentation. That's definitely a prayer request. I have enlisted Rebecca's help to help us gloss. I've learned so many new words. Gloss the information so that we're able to sign it. And not only learning it in sign language, but learning it in Spanish, which is not something I'm talented at either, so that's interesting. We're learning how to do these words in Spanish, not necessarily ASL, so that's been a little different for Hannah too, I think, just having to learn that. But so Dominican Republic naturally led us to, how far away are the Whites? So Jim and Teresa White are missionaries that are sponsored by this church, and they are our missionaries that we support. In case you don't know that, we support them through Sharing the Vision is their ministry, and they are actually in Santiago. So Santo Domingo and Santiago are about 4 hours away. But I was encouraged by some people who have visited the Whites before. Why don't you just reach out to the Whites and, you know, see, they may have to come down to Santo Domingo for something or whatever. So I messaged them on Facebook and I said, hey, this is what the Lord has been doing with us. We're going to be in the DR. We would love to see you guys. And would you pray with us about how the Lord might work that out? And, of course, Teresa, she jumps on there. She's like, oh, that sounds wonderful. You know, maybe we would love for you to come be able to be with us over the weekend so you could come to church and all this kind of stuff. And we just left it at that. Well, meanwhile, Nikki is organizing our trip to the DR, doing all the flights and all this stuff, and she had us all booked and everything. And then we get the message that our returning flight home from Santo Domingo has been canceled. And so Nikki was going to have to talk to the airline. And so she come back to the group with, okay, we were going to come back on a Saturday. We're not going to be able to come back on a Saturday. They can either bring us back home on Friday, the day before, or we can come back home on Monday. And all the rest of the group wanted to come back early on Friday. And I said to Nikki, do we have to come back with the rest of the group, or can we come back on Monday? She says, I don't know. Let me ask. So she asked them, she's like, yeah, you don't have to come back on the same flight that we do. You can come back on Monday. I said, great. I said, what about, and so I'm telling Teresa this information, and she's like, you know, it would be really awesome if instead of flying out of Santo Domingo, you could fly out of Santiago. And I'm like, okay, I'll ask. So we asked, and they were like, Oh, yeah, you can do that. It's a little bit of a price difference. Not humongous price difference, but I'm looking at Brian. Brian is not a, you know, this kind of decision person, right? And honestly, I'm not usually either. I like to mull it over, pray about it, make sure, you know, we pray about it, make sure. But this is one of those things where Nikki is on the phone with the airline, and she needed, like, that answer right there. So when the answer to our question came of, yes, you can fly out on Monday, yes, you can fly out from Santiago, it's going to cost this much more, I said to Brian, this is it. Okay, what are we doing? And he's looking at me like, and I'm like, we need an answer, like, right now. And he's like, okay. And I said, yes, we're going to do it. And so Nikki booked it for us. So we are now getting, we're trying to figure out transportation from Santo Domingo to Santiago. Because we're a family of five with luggage, the Whites will either have to drive two vehicles to come pick us up, or they're talking about putting us on the bus, which is giving me kind of a little bit of anxiety. But she says that the bus is completely safe, but it'll be okay. It's going to be all right, because God has got us through this point. He's got us through this point. It's going to be okay. And so when our team leaves Friday to come home, we're going to be going to Santo Domingo, and we could just spend the weekend with the Whites. I'm so excited. I am so excited. I got off the phone, and I was, like, running through the house. I'm like, I'm so excited. I cannot believe this is happening. And Brian's like, I'm not quite there yet. You need to take that down a couple of notches. So we are super excited. We get to go with our new friends to learn, continue learning Dominican Sign Language and minister with the deaf children there in Santo Domingo. And we get to visit some old friends in Santiago and see what the Lord's been doing there. I'll give you a little report on Jim and Teresa. They are still trying to build their discipleship training center. They were going full strong on that. They started the groundwork for that in the summer of 2019. And then guess what? Pandemic hit. They were at full. They had all the money they needed, but then when the pandemic hit, the material skyrocketed on that. So, and then the mission teams weren't able to come either. They would host several mission teams a year to come help with that labor, and that hasn't been able to happen either. And so work on that has slowed down. So their big prayer request right now is for their discipleship training center. They're at the point where they're raising money for paint and raising money for bathroom fixtures. And I think he says there's going to be six sinks, six toilets, six mirrors, and six vanities, they said. So that's their big prayer request and what they're raising funds for. So this is what the Lord has been doing. He's taking us from CEF. We're going to be working with two other ministries, Harvest Deaf Church is Pastor Quinlan's ministry, and Sharing the Vision is Tim and Teresa's ministry. And honestly, I think it's just beautiful, because while CEF is the largest mission organization to children in the world, we are not the only mission organization in the world. There are other believers that God has called and God has placed the calling on. And it's so beautiful to see the family of God come together and work together for the purpose of sharing the gospel. And so that I am super, super excited about what God is doing and how he's brought all this together. And so that brings us to our question for you. Our policy in CEF is to ask God, and that's what we've been doing along this journey. We've been asking God, from Brian joining CEF staff to this DR trip developing, and then we tell his people. And so we're trying to get the word out, telling his people what God is doing, how he's put this together, how we feel that he's called us to do this. And so our question for you is, what will you do? Next week, you're going to have an opportunity to sow into this Dominican Republic trip, to sow into Pastor Quinlan's ministry, to sow into Jim and Teresa's ministry through the Lord sending us over there. The cost for all this, we've had lots of up and downs on that, but it's going to be about $8,000 for our family to go. And that covers everything: plane tickets, in-country transportation, food. The Quinlans are going to be cooking for us, and then Jim and Teresa are going to be cooking for us. Obviously, we want to cover the cost of that food for them. Brian and I didn't even have our passports. So our passport, all five of us getting passports, all of that expense is covered in that $8,000. Praise the Lord, we are halfway there. We reached our halfway mark this past week, so we have $4,000 of that. We are looking for the Lord to continue to provide the remainder of that. We got a couple of little fundraisers coming up, but then also Pastor Anthony has graciously said that, you know, we could present to you guys and then the love offering next week. So we are looking. And then he also said the church would match that. I believe that's what he said. So everything that's given next week will be matched by the church as a whole. So that's really exciting. So this is an opportunity for you to invest. You may not go to the Dominican Republic. You may not ever serve in CEF with us physically. You can pray for us. We popped up some prayer requests up there. And you can also invest in what the Lord is doing here financially. So I just want to encourage you to do that. We had one other thing we were going to do, but I don't think we're going to do it just because of time. So I want to thank you guys for being patient with the three of us sharing the mic today and just listening to what the Lord has been doing through our family, through CEF, through this trip to the DR. I think there's still more to come. I don't know if Hannah's been thinking about why is God sending us on this trip? What is God doing? I don't know what he's got happening there with her and her, and this interest in sign language, and I don't mean to embarrass you, but you never know what all the other stuff that he's doing, but I'm super excited to be partnering with these other believers to reach the lost, ultimately to reach the lost with the gospel. So thank you guys.
Close out in song today, if that's okay. Kind of normal. Hey, Henry. More than amazing. Let's stand and sing. Thank you, Brian and Summer, and Hannah. Hannah, you did a great job.
Remember all your thoughts.
dismissed.